Good morning. Good morning to our friends on Facebook and later on our friends on YouTube. It is great to be here with you this morning in this virtual community. How wonderful to know that you're there watching. Thank you so much for that. This is Lonnie. I'm going to go ahead and just let her say a few words too.
Yes, it's great to be back. Welcome, Facebook and YouTube spiritual family, and my little Facebookers. I loved all the beautiful comments and inspiration that you all were providing. So I know we are so divinely connected in this interesting time.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to do some brief announcements. Everything that I'm saying is on our website, and it's also in our newsletter. If for some reason you're not getting the newsletter, then by all means contact us off of the website, and we'll be sure to send it to you. Our website is www.venturacsl.org. So there's a few things to note. As always, until we are done with the quarantine, everything is online or via Zoom or Facebook Live. We have a Wednesday meditation. Doreen Palermo, who's a practitioner, is going to be doing a wonderful practice with us called Fear to Faith. So I encourage you to tune into that on Zoom, and the information is on the website. The Ancient Wisdom Ministry, that's led by Dr. Brock Travis, will be held live via live stream every Monday during the quarantine, and you can get that information on our website as well. And then there's a new support group on Thursdays. Mary Kerrigan, Gail Matthews, Simone Lemieux are starting a new support group, and I think it's probably most wonderful. And then additional support for our congregation. We have a resource page on our website. Prayer with the Practitioners is always available for you. And we're calling everybody in the congregation. So if for some reason you haven't received a call, if nobody's emailed you or contacted you, do let us know so we can make sure that we have your information and that you're on our list. A couple more exciting announcements about some of the things going on behind the scenes. So we've had a few little changes in the board recently, and I keep forgetting to tell you. I've had a few other things on my mind lately. But when Peter Frank left the board, his term was up, and he left a vacancy in the position of the kindness liaison. Kindness is so important in this center that we have a special board portfolio for it. So Brock, who was board president, decided that that would be a perfect fit for his skills and talents. He already does the Ancient Wisdom Ministry. He's a counselor, and it just felt like a really good match. So Brock is now the vice president, and he is the liaison to the kindness ministry, and Lonnie, who is just up here, is our board president now. So it's wonderful things are happening. It's a great mix. And one more wonderful thing, I can't remember if I've told you this, but we also extended a letter of call to Reverend Karen Mondragon. So she's one of our staff ministers now. So if you're home, let's just give it up for Reverend Karen. There you go. Thank you so much. And now I'm going to turn it over to our beautiful Joan, and she's going to give us an invocation.
As we gently just close our eyes, just feel relaxed wherever you're at, feeling comfortable, trusting and knowing that we are one with Spirit. There is just one life. That life is God's life. That life is of perfection. Perfect life, perfect being, compassion for those that are in need of whatever they need, love, sending out the love which everybody needs right now, companionship, trusting, knowing that this is all Spirit. Spirit is one with everything in and around and through each and every one of us. As I am one with Spirit, each and every one of us watching is one with Spirit also. I speak my word today. I just have special blessings for our practitioners here at our congregation. Special blessings for our practitioners for reaching out and showing the love, which is our center of love. Where each and every one of us comes from a place of love. We serve with love and we share that love. Special blessings for first responders. Special blessings for healthcare workers. Blessings for each and every one that has stepped up to the plate to serve from a place of love. Just feel so blessed today, just so blessed to even be here. With a grateful heart, my heart just is overflowing with gratitude. Gratitude and knowing that I can pray for each and every one of us, and each and every one that are in the world, sending the love, sending much love to everyone. I release these words, trusting and knowing that as my words are spoken, it is already done. And together we say, and so it is.
And I'm Reverend Susan, and just following on Joan's beautiful grounding invocation, I'm here to lead us into a deep meditation. So I invite you, wherever you are, to close your eyes. And with the breath, just breathing into your heart space, allowing it to open, allowing the mind to soften. And with the next breath, allowing that love that you are to begin to circulate in your body temple, filling up the mental, emotional, and physical body with love. And as that love on the next breath circulates, begin to feel that every cell is saturated with that love. And on the next breath, begin to feel that you are now surrounded in an atmosphere of love. And each breath continues to circulate that love within, through, and around you. And then deepening a little bit more with the next breath, I want to invite you to begin to open up your vision, that visionary window within you. And as you begin to look through that visionary window, this is who you are now, and the vision is where you're going next. And so I want to bring us, with a breath, into the field of possibilities. Surrounded with love, filled up with love, and extending love into that field of possibility for yourself. Taking a moment just to reside there, allowing whatever you are able to see or hear or feel, allow it as you begin to open up to the vastness of spirit. All the possibilities within that. And with the next breath, I invite you not only to see the possibilities for your life, family, your community, the world, but the miracles that are within each and every possibility. Miracles for healing, miracles for wisdom revealed, for truth revealed within you, and that truth revealed for integration, healing, or release. Just begin to see all those beautiful seeds of miracles in your field of possibility. And with this next breath, allowing those seeds of possibility and miracles to begin to take root. And you can go to your visionary window whenever you desire and just watch that grow. love in again, reminding yourself that this is your truth, becoming present to where you are, the room, the chair, even the bed you might be reclining in. Just bringing yourself present to now, saturated with love and open to the possibilities of miracles. And so it is.
Restoring Balance and Meaning in Ourselves, from an article by Alan Briskin. During a time of great drought, a Taoist master was asked by members of a village if he could help bring rain to their dry fields. They confessed trying many other approaches, but with no success, before reaching out to him. The master agreed to come and asked for a small hut with a garden that he could tend. For 3 days, he tended the garden, performing no special rituals or asking anything further from the villagers. On the 4th day, rain began to fall on the parched earth. When asked how he had achieved such a miracle, the master answered that he was not responsible for the rain. However, he explained, when he came to the village, he had sensed disharmony within himself. Each day as he tended the garden, he returned a little more to himself. When he returned to balance, the rain came naturally. I have heard that this was one of psychologist Carl Jung's favorite stories, told to him by Richard Wilhelm, translator of the Chinese divination text I Ching, the Book of Changes. Jung believed that Taoist beliefs mirrored his own understanding that what we call personal consciousness is only a partial perception of a greater whole. There are ways to fling open the mind, connecting us with a collective unconscious, allowing us access to larger universal rhythms. And from this fruitful entanglement, parallel events can arise, such as what happened between the Taoist master and the rain falling. We all have some intuition of a thin veil separating us from a larger universal consciousness. Jung was not alone in believing this veil could be lifted. Philosopher and novelist Colin Wilson wrote of a subconscious mind that becomes numb, like an arm upon which I have been lying in my sleep and which has become completely dead and feelingless. The task is to restore circulation between the subconscious mind and the flow of life. In doing so, we awaken a feeling connection with awe and mystery. And in awakening to this possibility, a fundamental transformation takes place. No longer passive subjects at the mercy of events, we become active participants, translating meaning into life. Does the parable of the Taoist master represent a symbol of the awakened mind? A person who has restored circulation between himself and the universe? And if this is the case, then we must consider anew the synchronistic attitude toward life. When we restore balance and meaning in ourselves, we seed the world around us with hope and purpose.
I am remembering who I am.
Please join with us at home.
I am remembering who I am.
And in that state of remembrance, I invite you to breathe in deeply and then exhale, opening your eyes in love and in service to what is, as it is, and so it is. Thank you.
The words I have to say may well be simple, but they're true. Until you give your love, there's nothing more that we can do. Have your eyes really seen? You say it's very hard to leave behind the life we knew. But there's no other way, and now it's really up to you. It's really up to me and you.
Thank you, Gia. I trust everybody clapped at home for that beautiful rendition. Thank you so much. Okay, so here we are again on Sunday morning at home in pajamas and hopefully snuggling with your pets and possibly reclining in bed and just doing something that makes you feel really, really good. Again, I'm so glad that you tuned in to us because it's our intention today to help you feel really, really good, boost your immunity that way, and just continue to spread the love of this center through the world. The original plan for this message was a talk about possibilities. I believe the original talk title was Perceiving the Possible in the Impossible. And then I read something that made that seem kind of like not good enough for us. I'm going to go bigger. I want to talk about miracles today. Because I read this thing that my friend Nipun Mehta wrote, and for those of you who are new, Nipun Mehta is one of our beloved friends. He has an organization, a global service organization called Service Space, and he comes and speaks at the church, and I've spent a lot of time working with him, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, he wrote this post about the COVID-19 situation. He actually had been on a silent retreat when it all started, before it all started. And when he came back, he was like, what's going on here? All this stuff had shut down. But his post was about how is service space and how are the people that are consciously doing spiritual work in the world, how are we going to respond to this in a way that is beyond emergency, but about true emergence? And he wrote this thing about how there is a strong pull in all of us. I'm sure you're feeling it. Many of you are feeling it. Many of us are feeling it, that we want things just to return to normal, which implies the status quo. And maybe the status quo is not good enough for us. Maybe instead of returning to the status quo, it is our calling to move to the place where 10,000 flowers grow. Instead, we move to the place where miracles happen. And this goes right along in line with what I spoke about last week when I was quoting our practitioner, Peter Frank, about the acronym for COVID. C is for caring, see if I can remember. O is for opportunity. V is for vision. I is for intentional spiritual practice. And D is for the decision to do it over and over and over again, at least 19 times, if not more. Thought about that, V is for vision. And I thought, yeah, that's it. Envisioning miracles, knowing that the vision of miracles has the opportunity to take place in each of us, whatever that miracle might be. And because of who we are, because we are part of this beautiful spiritual center that believes that we lead by inner transformation, many of the miracles happen as we transform ourselves from the inside out, just like that Zen story that Hugh read from home. The Zen story about the Zen monk who was tasked to cause rain to fall on the parched earth, and all he did was get a garden and work in it for 3 days and work on himself. Work on himself, relieving the disharmony that he was feeling. So in the spirit of that, I posted a question on Facebook yesterday, probably many of you answered, and I asked something like, what's the real words? Let me look at the real words. Aha. Okay. Today, I welcome the inner miracle of fill in the blank. And I'm going to read you the responses that came up. Doreen welcomes the inner miracle of the child in her that wants to play. Hugh welcomes equanimity in the face of hysteria. Bernie welcomes trusting vulnerability. Jennifer welcomes play. Deborah, letting go of negative thoughts. Lonnie, connection. Melissa, surrender. Lenine, trust. Karen, listening deeply. Emily, transformation. Diane welcomes the miracle of peace. Bill also welcomes the miracle of trust. Debbie welcomes silence. Dave welcomes the practice of the presence. John, healing grief. Janet, self-forgiveness. Karina, light into body and soul. Vicky, healthy eating. Jana, conscious contact with the divine. Dina, openness. Susan, loving herself. Kathy, resilience and guidance, even when she can't see the path. Dot, offering everything and everyone. Fred, recognition of the true love between him and his wifey, Karen Mondragon. Julie, cooperation. Randy, the miracle of our animals. Lacey, faith that all is well, even when it doesn't look like it or feel like it. Ed, the miracle of being open to miracles. Jan, trusting that everything will be okay. Joan, welcomes the miracle of divine peace. Dave, the true self. Bernie Shane, the miracle of self-determination. Maggie welcomes joy. Carolinda welcomes increasing commitment to self-care. Nick welcomes science. Kathy welcomes oneness. Kim welcomes healthy digestion. Another Kim welcomes forgiveness. Patty welcomes resilience. Bill, forgiving and tithing. Lita, wonder and joy. Rick, gratitude. Kenny, peace. And Heather welcomes the miracle of love. So you see that there is a whole lot of capacity for transformation going on right here in this spiritual center. And I think that this is a perfect time to talk about it, to talk about what's happening, how we can move through this next phase of the pandemic with the spirit of transformation, with the spirit of knowing that we can call forth miracles. To me, this is a tricky time in the course of this pandemic. It reminds me very much of something that happens to a lot of people. It's happened to me, and I see it a lot in church. Have you ever attended a church service, or read a great spiritual book, or heard a great speaker, and you say to yourself, yeah, I'm going to change. I'm going to go to church every single week. I'm going to meditate every day for a half hour at least. I'm going to pray every day. I see even the few people in here shaking their heads. And you know what happens, right? You start off all gung-ho, like you're really committed, you're really going to do this thing. And then, I don't know, that television show over there looks kind of better than meditating right now. Or, ooh, look, there's a donut. I think I'll do that instead of pray, right? It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. You know, and it reminds me of what's going on with this pandemic, because at the beginning we all had that surge of adrenaline that I talked about last week, and then the adrenaline slowly starts to turn to tedium, where we're like, get me out of this thing, I need to get out of this pandemic, and we're wanting to return to normal, and if we return to normal, will we remember everything that we learned while we were in the pandemic? Because we learned so much. We learned about the value of all of the miracles around us that we often do not see. We learned about the value of relationships and the values of hugging. So will we continue to bring that energy and that spirit into the post-pandemic times and through the transition of moving from pandemic to working through it until we return to something greater than the status quo? That's my intention. You know, I was thinking of quoting this, and then Brother Norm sent me the quote this morning. Howard Thurman said, keep fresh before me my moment of high resolve. And he talks about how, yes, our moment of high resolve, where we vow to do something, where we vow to remember what we learned now in the pandemic and take it into the future, that is so fresh when we first decide it. And then life has a way of sort of nipping away at it, and it erodes it, not through anything big, but just through life and erosion. So again, that's my intention for us, is that we can keep this moment of high resolve as we move through this next phase of the pandemic, as we're starting to sort of let go and become a little bit more relaxed. About this next phase of the pandemic, I don't really know if we're there yet. California, as you know, is letting people go on the beaches, and we can now have 10 people in the sanctuary as opposed to 7. So there are small steps being made. I was thinking about this evolution of this situation, and you know, actually it kind of reminded me of a dog park. You may know that all paths lead to dog in my world. Many people say all paths lead to God, but all paths lead to dog in my world. And probably, I would think, hopefully many of you have been to a dog park. If not, just smile and nod at home and see if you can play along. When you go into a dog park, you see that there are all different ways of entering the dog park. Some dogs just bound in, and they're just full of life, and they're reckless, and they go up, and they start bumping into other dogs, and they jump on people's laps, and they lick people's faces, and they're just completely wild and out of control. And they're happy. I liken that unto people that are maybe not respecting some of the aspects of the quarantine. Perhaps some of the folks that are going to the beach and sitting there and perhaps coughing on people. Not that I'm judging. Because we don't know where people are coming from, but there is that method of re-entering post-pandemic. Then you have the dogs that are shy, that are painfully shy and fearful, and they enter the dog park and they hug the perimeter, and they hover between their owner's legs, and they won't interact with any other dog. And I think that that is also indicative of the way that some folks are responding, afraid to come out of the house, afraid to do things differently because we've gotten so used to being the way that we are. And then you have the third dog, the third type of dog that goes into the dog park and is appropriate. It approaches dogs cautiously, but with intention. It sniffs their bottoms to get a lot of information. That's how dogs get information. And I think that that is like unto those of us that are moving through the pandemic cautiously, yet also taking greater risks through information. We are sniffing the bottom of the pandemic by reading things from, say, the county health department and finding out what it is that we can do and then responding to that appropriately. And so when I came up with this, what I thought was a very clever metaphor, who knows what y'all are thinking about it, but when I came up with this, I was thinking, yeah, I'm gonna be that third dog. But then I started thinking more about it, and I started thinking, what if there's a fourth dog? What if there are two polar opposites of a dog that is terrified and a dog that is reckless, and in the middle is that sniffy dog that's doing everything sort of by the book? But what if that is giving rise to a fourth dog, and a new arising from this tension that is held by the polar opposites that is resolved by the third force? And what if that fourth dog turns it upside down? What if that fourth dog is fearful of returning to the status quo and reckless about creating miracles and moving into greater and deeper spiritual practice? And to me, the only spiritual practice that there is to do is to see God, to see love in everything, to touch the hem of the garment of the infinite absolute in everything that happens to us, every single thing, to find the gift in it, and to reap the benefits of that gift for ourselves and then ripple it out to others through our consciousness. So how are we going to do that? It certainly is through inner transformation. And as you could see from the Facebook list that I read, the way that we are called to transform is individualized. It's not custom made, it's individualized, but it's always doing the work of transforming ourselves from the inside out. For me, I discovered that my miracle that I want is complete trust. I was participating in a Zoom class a few days ago, we are training three practitioner students on Zoom. Practitioner students ultimately will become practitioners, and practitioners are kind of like the prayer ministers of the church. They support the congregation through prayer and other services as well. And we're training these three beautiful women that are such good sports about being trained on Zoom and having this sort of crazy scenario going on while they're moving through this very sacred part of their training. One of them, Christine Voth, many of you know her, she did a beautiful meditation, and I have no idea what she said, but I know that it transported me to a place where I started asking myself, what is the miracle that wants to emerge through me? What is the miracle that wants to emerge through me? What is the miracle that wants to emerge through me? And the word that came up was trust. I said, what is the miracle that wants to emerge through me? What else you got? Complete trust. Oh. And so I thought, what would that be like to trust completely? I'll have to get back to you on that because I'm still working on it, as I'm sure that many of us are. I do know that I made a discovery this week that perhaps it is wise to pray rather than worry. People say that worry is a form of prayer, that it's praying for what you do not want to have happen. And what if we could actually pray for what we do want? We could pray for our inner peace or for our poise or for our equanimity. It happened to me earlier this week. I was working on a document. We're doing one of those stimulus program loan things, and it's complicated. It's supposed to be very easy. It's supposed to take 8 minutes to fill out, but it does not. And they need all kinds of documentation, and I was missing a piece, and I needed to get it to them ASAP, and I emailed Annette, or I texted Annette. I called her, and she did not respond within 3 minutes, so I was freaking out a little bit, and then I just thought, oh, wait a minute. What was that thing you said about trust and prayer? Oh, yeah. Why don't you just pray? And I just said, Spirit, change me into someone who trusts. Help me know that this is all going as it should be. And then rather than continuing to harass Annette and our accountant, I said, what should I do now instead of doing that? And the voice said, go watch television. Go watch that nice show about the firemen that you've been watching. And so I did. And when I came back to my computer, the documents that I needed were there. And I don't think I got any gray hairs, because they would show now, because I haven't, you know, been to the hairdresser, as many of us. But it was so beautiful to just have that little tiny example as the opportunity to pray before worry. You know, and it's such a common thing. I'm hoping that all that I'm not the only one. Practitioners, and you know, okay, they're all nodding their heads over there. Jennifer's yawning, but I'm hoping. You know, it is a common thing, and I know this because the head of our movement, Dr. Ken Gordon, who was the head of the movement until the regime change, he said that he does the same thing, that he will try everything to try and control a situation, to try and fix it with what he knows. And then finally he goes, oh yeah, prayer. That's what we teach in this thing. Prayer reaches beyond what we know into the miraculous. So here's my assignment for you, one of my assignments. And that is, if you catch yourself worrying about anything, about the virus, about the pandemic, about your finances, about anything that quote unquote could go wrong in the coming months, why not just stop and pray? And if you feel like you're not in a place to pray, call one of our beautiful practitioners or email them. They would be absolutely delighted to pray with you. And all of their information is on the website under practitioners. So there's that, prayer. There's another thing, another miracle that I'd like to talk about. A way of calling in the miraculous that is more subtle, and I'm not sure if I have the words, but I'm going to give it a try, and perhaps you all can help me get a greater handle on what this is. You know, based on this article that I read from Nipun about post-pandemic or moving through this next phase of the pandemic and how we're going to respond, I started thinking that, you know, we've all been doing a lot for self-preservation. And that's a really good thing. We've all been doing a lot to help preserve the other, and that's a really good thing as well. You know, we stay home and we social distance so that we don't catch anything that we can carry to somebody else. That's a beautiful thing. So we're preserving the self, and we're preserving the other. But what if the third force wants us to lose the self and to lose any perception of the other? And I think that's where spiritual community comes in. Through spiritual community, we lose the grasping self. We lose the self that needs to fix everything. We lose the self that needs to control everything. And it may not always look like we're losing it, but we are working towards that aim of losing the controlling self so that we can be a vessel and a vehicle for God to express, for love to express in all of its fullness. You know that any time our controlling self gets in the way, it sets up a barrier because love does not come in uninvited. So through spiritual community and through our inner work, through our conscious labors and intentional sacrifice, which means letting go of that which we do not need, that which we cling to, that which is not even real, through that, we start to lose the self. And as we lose the self, we lose the perception of other. There is no other. There is only one of us here, and its name is Spirit. Its name is love. And so what would that be like? I don't know, but I'm willing to try. I'm willing to look at that, to look at where I'm clutching and grasping and say, how can I lose myself in this situation? How can I lose my need, my grasping, my desire to control and fix and regret and blame and shame, all of those things? How can I let go of that? You know, I was thinking about this kind of a from the sublime to the sort of ridiculous, but one of the things that I miss a lot is going to restaurants. Restaurants are super fun, and if I drank, I would like going to bars, too. Bars, I've heard, are super fun, or back in the day, they used to be fun. You know, but I was thinking, if you're bemoaning the fact that you can't go to a restaurant, why don't you create your own inner restaurant, and look at the menu, and look, oh, on the menu, here's trust. I think I will have a giant helping of trust right now with maybe a side dish of compassion and a beverage called kindness. You know, get creative with this. As you want to let go of the self that is clutching and grasping, see how creative you can be in terms of bringing new consciousness into you. And that is the fertile soil where miracles can arise. So I look forward to seeing what happens through our conscious labors and intentional sacrifice as we move through this time together as a community. And you know, the thing that also gives me hope is that we're already doing it. We are so already doing it. You know, when Jennifer Luce sent out this survey of how many people wanted to either be served or serve, and there were several people that wanted to be served, but so many people said, no, I am willing to serve. I am in a place where I can serve, and I have resources, and I have abundance, and I have energy, and I have time. Let me serve. So we've had all kinds of service, too many to name. I know Deborah is making meals for people, and our friend Scott is making a little suitcase with UV light in it that disinfects things, and the practitioners are calling everybody and praying with people, and Brock is doing his class that's a great service, and Norm continues to tend the gardens and create beauty out of soil and seeds. We are all serving in our own way, in our wonderful way. And if you think for 2 seconds that doesn't matter, I'm going to dispel that notion in you too right now. Because in this article that I read from Nipun Mehta that goes around the world, he has something like 500,000 people in his organization, and it is truly a global organization. It goes all over the world. And he mentioned the teaching of our church 3 times. He talked about the third force, which is Nipun and I have had many conversations about the third force. And then he also mentioned a global conference call that I was a guest speaker on. But then he also mentioned that which is behind me. Ta-da! The pantheon of mystics that stand behind me on Sundays now. You know, and that was just a subtle little joke made by Brian and Shelley, who have this beautiful company that where they blow up life-size pictures of people for stand-ins, and they just did it because they thought it would make me smile, and I said yes because I knew it would make all of you smile. And we are getting so many comments about the mystics behind me. People want to know who they are. We'll let you know. There's a few more today too, by the way, just so you know. And did you see the live one? Annette was up there before, making bunny ears above Thich Nhat Hanh's head. So, this is what I'm talking about. This joy, this simple act of joy, has rippled all over the world. I'm getting comments from all over Surface Space about the mystics that stand behind me. And what a wonderful creative way to use our gifts to ripple outward and to share, because there is no self. There is no self that clings to our gifts and say that we need to hold on to them and keep them for our own. And there is no other, because as we give to others, we are giving to ourselves. This center is a powerhouse. We are doing really well. One of the other things that I was so excited about was when I did the board meeting last Sunday. We did it on Zoom. And, as you know, a lot of businesses are struggling, and the church is a business, and I wouldn't say that we're struggling, but we have what I like to call a little bit of a dippity-doo-dah in the finances. And it's not horrible, but I'm choosing that language to keep it light. Dippity-doo-dah in the finances. I invite you to use that because it helps me. I used to say, we're hemorrhaging money, and now I say, we're having a little dippity-doo-dah in the finances, okay? But, you know, we're fine. But anyway, we always tithe in the first quarter, quarterly, and I brought the amount that we were supposed to tithe, and you know, given what's going on, it looked like a lot, and I was like, wow, I wonder if the board's going to want to do this. No question. I said, this is the amount we are supposed to tithe, and they're like, oh, let's give some here. All things that have inspired us and all things that are supporting those who are struggling with the pandemic. So to me, that is a pure sign of the goodness of this center, that we have sufficient money that is not our money, actually. It is our money. It is not our money. It is Spirit's money that we can push out to that which looks like other, but that it's really the self. Whoa. I think God has spoken. And and that we have that spirit of generosity that I know will bring forth further miracles for all of us, not only for us collectively, but for all of the individuals that attend our services and sit in this space and that can bring these miracles and the spirit of generosity out into their lives as well. So, you know, when we sit at that restaurant that's not really a restaurant, we can also have generosity for dessert. I am so delighted to be here this morning. I wish all of you were here too, but given the circumstances, I am still delighted to be here speaking to all of you and to again send this message to you. You know, instead of focusing on returning to the status quo, let us be that place where 10,000 flowers can grow. We plant seeds of goodness every time we pray, every time we meditate, every time we do an act of kindness. We plant those seeds, we see them grow, and we see them spread all over the world. Let's spread that goodness now, and let us pray.